Follow the show on Twitter at Boomer and Rhett. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings, brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. Ford employee pricing is back. You pay what we pay. It's that simple. Find out more at 2800 Barlow Trail Northeast or at myuniversal.ca.
Brett the Hitman Hart coming up in the next segment. Hitman Rebels tomorrow night at the Dome. Get your tickets. Home opener for the Hitman. And after 9 o'clock, we'll chat with Ari Shaffir, stand-up comic in town once again over at Yuck Yucks. Funny, which is key when you're a stand-up comic. You better be funny. But he is an emerging one of these guys that's gaining some steam here.
Every time he comes back, he's a bigger deal?
Well, and yeah, very soon it'll be, okay, he's not doing the Yuck Yucks anymore. It'll be maybe a Jack Singer or something like that, because he is on that kind of a path. So that is coming up just after 9 o'clock. The end of the month is coming. It's now the 19th, which means pressure is on. If you want yourself a Redism Fan 960 t-shirt, Dice Hockey Apparel, they've been firing these things out. We're now well over $2,000 for a kids sport. The proceeds going to kids sport. So that is awesome, and that's all on you guys. You've shelled out the dough, so good on that. If you want to get yourself a Redism t-shirt, all four of them, you can find them on their website, dicehockeyapparel.com. And again, till the end of the month, then we stop selling the buggers, and then we'll ship them all out. But I think we're maybe planning on doing one more before the end of the year.
And women's size and kids size is now available. If you head to the
women's
website.
Kids up to the trips,
trips being
triple XL
for the men.
That's well,
big Brontosaurus
could be for the women too.
I don't know that the women
been size. To Walmart.
Try not to.
How are you?
Getting a little
because again,
spacy here.
For those of you who are just tuning in, welcome to the program. It's Boomer in the Morning along with Ryan Pinder. A week ago today, Pinder was here when he had no business being here because he was sick as a dog. He was out on his feet.
Flu-like symptoms.
You were
sweats,
incoherent. You were making no sense. I mean, worse than usual. And I said to you, what are you doing in here? You're sick. You're no good. And you felt like it was a badge of honor that you don't miss time. This is not
proud man. Boomer.
This is not hockey play by play. This is not you in some backwoods hick arena,
Merritt, BC,
talking to some, you know, hey, to all the shut-ins and all the
like to say hello to Thelma at the retirement home. She tunes in for every V's broadcast in Penticton.
Yeah. This is different. This is kind of you need to be to do 4 hours of talk. You got to be kind of on your toes. You got to be ready for it. So I told you a week ago, don't come in when you're in this type of shape.
And in hindsight, I was like, you know what? That is the right decision to I should have taken a vacation, just in sick day.
Go yeah, on, and you get it. A sick day. It's allowed. In addition to that, you get everybody else sick. So thanks for that.
Well, that's part of my plan to undermine you.
So a week goes by to the day.
Yeah.
And you're in here.
Yes.
A day after having hernia surgery. You're whacked up on Percocets. What are you doing here? You're sitting in the corner. You look like you should be leaning on a jukebox in some old bar room.
I was feeling pretty good until about 20 minutes ago. I got a little spacey.
You look like you're tanked. You know what you look like? You look like you're on the rebound. Like you got
the rebound.
Like you got liquored, puked, but now you're on the rebound.
Back
it's like, okay,
bottle.
I'm back. I'm back on the horse. I'm good. No, I'm good. No, you're not good.
Just a little drop.
You're on the
do-do-do's.
What is a do-do-do?
So what are you doing here? Did you have surprise surgery yesterday? It's like, oh, geez, maybe I'll go for surgery today.
You know
or did
what?
did you know at least a couple days in advance that you were going to be
drugged
up?
You know the answer to that question. Surgeries don't happen overnight.
So again, what are you thinking?
I haven't been bad today. I've been just fine. I'm worried about the last
We're only halfway through
hours,
this thing.
But up to this point, I've been coherent. The English language has not been my enemy like it was a week ago.
Not yet.
I sound like a human. And I'm not making anyone else sick. So I feel okay thus far.
A week ago, we had a comedian. Jeremy Hotz in.
No!
And I think we remember how that went over.
It didn't go well.
As you were jumping in with your commentary on the Toronto Maple Leafs, his favorite team. We're pleased to be joined by a Canadian comedy legend.
A legend.
Jeremy Hotz. Do your Leafs make the playoffs?
Well, if they don't, that will be the end of Randy Carlyle, right?
Yeah. How many 18-wheelers go off the cliff before they build a railing, right?
I don't like that analogy.
He didn't like the analogy.
The giggle is... you were impressed with it, right? You were happy with that.
I'm like, he's a Leaf fan. I get this reference.
Yeah.
I don't like that analogy.
Didn't know what the 18-wheeler was.
Boo!
Yeah.
Should have stayed home that day.
So you want me to do the Ari Shaffir after 9? You're going to jump
right
in.
Right out of the
you
way.
Want to jump in?
What's his name, Shaffir?
Yeah.
You can talk with him.
No, because, you know, it wasn't as bad as you thought.
Oh, boy. Was that bad?
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Flames are on the ice this morning at 10 o'clock. It is the official opening of 2014 training camp. Two scrimmages today, if you're so inclined, 10 a.m. and then at 11, both of them at Winsport, both in the Snyder Arenas.
Who's your horse? You got a team you're cheering for here?
McDonald, Nieuwendyk, and Vernon are the three teams. I can't get behind Vernon.
No.
And Nieuwendyk, I mean, sour taste. So it's got to be Lanny.
I'm going to take Nieuwendyk.
Are you?
Lanny's all over. Does Lanny need more success? Lanny's just as successful as can be. He can just settle down. It's Nieuwendyk's time.
Well, fair enough. So McDonald, Nieuwendyk at 10, and then McDonald, Vernon. If you go out there, free of charge, you can go and watch it, and I'm guessing they'll have the little lineup sheets there for you if you're curious as to who is who.
Which team are you coaching?
I'm not coaching anybody.
What happened to that?
Well, that was Hitman.
Yeah, I know, but they don't like you coaching
anymore. That's fine. Don't want to show up Hartley. Bob Hartley.
Wonder if Bobby will be coaching or up watching from above. Bet your Bobby's upstairs.
Do you have a... Oh, he'll be upstairs.
Yeah, for sure.
Fast forward, put on your look into the future hat.
Thank you, Rhett.
365 from now.
Yeah.
Is Bob Hartley the head coach of this team?
I don't think so, but I mean, the biggest determining factor is going to be this season, and we don't know what's going to happen this season. My look into the future cap would suggest another top four pick in the draft, and if that's the case, I mean, moral victories aside, where are you at?
Can't blame him because of the roster. Blame him because of where they are in a rebuild. But, and a great story in the Herald today, and I referenced it earlier. George Johnson, as he does, just for my money, one of the best in the country at what he does, and talked to Bob. And some great stuff from Hartley. He knows. I mean, he's not stupid, not new to the game. He knows what's on the cooker for him this year, which is why the goal is playoffs. If you are in this business of hockey and you're a coach or a player, if you're a fan or a media, you can do whatever you want. You can pick your spots. But if you're a player or a coach, your goal better be to play in the playoffs or we don't want you, because then you're just drawing a paycheck and living the NHL lifestyle. And I think when we talked to Giordano the other day and we've heard from Matt Stajan, that's what it's about. That's how you start getting the culture. And you know what? And it wasn't lip service. You were there when we talked to Giordano the other day. He wants to play in the playoffs.
Oh,
it's not just
this.
We really want to make the playoffs this year. No, it's burning in his gut.
Well, he's in the prime of his career. There
hasn't been playoff hockey. Anyway, back to the Hartley story. Grab a copy of the Herald today, because as he said, Brian Burke, new to the scene, inherits the head coach. Brad Treliving, new to the scene, he has inherited the coach. History has shown us very rarely does that scenario and marriage last.
The other thing I'd bring up, when Brian Burke came in, what did he say about Jay Feaster? Love working with him, great guy, la la la, gone. When Troy Ward's contract, oh, it's a priority, we're going to get it done, la la la, gone.
Yeah.
So while they might not dislike Bob Hartley or they like a lot of what's done, the question is, at the end of this year when his contract's up, which person on planet Earth is best to lead this group into the future? And if you're coming off three seasons in a row without playoffs, and if you see a little bit of season one rear its head in year three in terms of veterans maybe tuning them out, it's not going to happen. Now, if they flirt with a playoff spot, if there's progress, if young guys develop, if you can get a guy like Sven Berchi on track,
yeah,
which isn't entirely up to him. There's a lot of Sven there. But if you can see that, then bring him back by all means. But I just don't know how easy any of those things are going to be.
You wonder what, and I'm guessing Brad Treliving and Brian Burke have not sat down. Okay, what's the bar for us to bring him back? What's he going to have to do with this team to earn a contract extension? I think the fact that he does not have a contract extension tells you all you need to know. And the question, and you know, from the fan feedback line, and by all means, chime in, 960-960, who do you replace him with? Very valid question. However, both of these guys have been around hockey for a long time. Treliving has made a living in the American Hockey League, watching young coaches, watching young players. I'm sure he has any number of coaches who he thinks would be a good replacement.
Well, let's remember, he was coaching in the Swiss League. How many years was he removed from the NHL when the Flames hired him? It's not like this is the top coach on earth right now.
Yeah.
You have some guys who will be up next year. Look at Mike Babcock. There's going to be some names shuffling. And I think Ryan Huska, the guy they have in the A, is considered one of the best young coaches in the profession. If things go great, by all means, bring Bob back. But don't expect the team to struggle and have issues and him coming back. What happens between now and April 15 is huge for his future.
So, I mean, that's the one side. The other side is, what is this team going to look like? You start to jot things down, and we have been for a number of weeks here. What's this team going to look like? Who will earn a spot? On the right side, you would think somewhere within, you know, stack them however you want. But David Jones, Mason Raymond, Devin Setoguchi, and Brian McGrattan would seem to have a pretty good firm hold on those four spots. On the left side, if Hudler stays over there, you've got Glenn Cross, Hudler, Colburn, again, depending what you're doing with him.
Yeah, because he can play all three positions.
And Brandon Bolig. And down the middle, Backlund, Stage, and Monahan, Boma. And then knocking at the door, I guess, at each position, depending. Now, the wingers, I think, are kind of interchangeable. But Goudreau, Sven, Paul Byron got a contract to come back.
Granlin,
Wolf.
Yeah, I don't think Wolf's there yet.
You don't know that, right? Yeah. But these are guys that are somewhat in the mix.
Here's what we know about the other guys. We've seen them in North American action on this roster. We have not seen David Wolf in a Flames uniform at the NHL level. And he may well be in that conversation. And wouldn't it be nice to have a David Wolf that we dream he can be, the ceiling David Wolf, playing with Bolig and Boma? Wouldn't that be a nice physical line?
Sure.
But he has to prove it first. Those other guys have shown glimpses of being NHL regulars.
I mean, long shot, right? AHL for sure. And then down the middle, Billy Arnold. We talked about Granlin, Corbin Knight, Max Reinhardt.
A lot of guys.
I talked to you earlier about where Max Reinhardt is at. Still a young guy, but do you feel like he's still tracking towards being an everyday NHLer? Or do you think he might be caught in that group where it's just going, I'm in, I'm out, I'm in, I'm out, I'm in, I'm out?
It's 22. He was a third-round pick. It's not like this is a first-rounder struggling to get traction. You're going to swing and miss way more often than you're going to hit on third-rounders. And I saw his full rookie campaign in Abbotsford. Wasn't great. Big jump. Western Hockey League to AHL. Last year, almost a point per game in the American Hockey League. That's a good indicator. Is there another step to be made by Max Reinhardt? And if there is it on the wing? Is it at center? And can he be better than Granlin, than Berchi, then Goudreau? Because those are the kind of guys he's going to be fighting against for a job.
Different roles, right?
Are they?
I think so.
They're diminutive playmaking forwards that probably get pushed to the wing.
Do you
right?
think that's what Reinhardt is?
Yes. He's not a physical player.
Because I see him just, because I don't, he did come through with more offensive numbers than, because we talked about that too, that his numbers were better last year than we thought.
63 points in 66 games. That's a very difficult league to put 60 points up at his
I
age.
Still think if he's going to be an NHLer, it's going to be as a mucker.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think his long-term success in the bigs would be as a Granlin, yes. Sven, yes, going to have to be slick and highly skilled. I just see Reinhardt in a different category.
I just see all three of those guys as top nine forwards that are under 200 pounds that aren't going to make their living running into people, but being smart away from the puck and making things happen with the puck. Now, Max is pretty crafty in small spaces. He's good in traffic, but he is, by all means, is not a checking forward. He's not a go out and bang him guy. At least he hasn't been when I've watched him. So I think he really is in competition with the Granlins and the Berchis of the universe.
Well, you look at the, and it's easy to, we always guard against it. Don't fall in love with the prospects. Don't get too enamored. Yes, they were drafted. Yes, they were, but it does not necessarily mean they're all going to play. But all of a sudden, there's a lot of guys that I think fans have gotten excited about. to some degree, I think people are still excited about Sven Berchi, and it's fading, but I get it. John Gaudreau.
The hype machine's in full effect right now.
Ferland is still very much in the mix for a spot. Granlund.
Looked very good last year.
Bill Arnold is unknown, untested.
I don't think he's there yet.
Corbin Knight, Max Ryan. I guess what I'm saying is there's a group of guys that you're like, okay, there's six guys. Go out and have a good camp.
Go take Devin Setoguchi's job, guys. Go
there's
do it.
There's six guys that you're like, okay, well, are you going to be good enough to get in? Whereas it was not that long ago. Okay, so it's Lance Boma. And we're done.
TJ on the back end, that's it, right?
So we'll see. And on the back end, we can get into that a little bit later on as well. And you wonder if anybody gets pushed out there. We will come back with Brett the Hitman Hart. I forgot we got to do in case you missed it. Do we want to do it here and go over, Jay? All right, because it's Friday.
You need it on a Friday.
It's been a long week. It's been long, but we've learned a lot, haven't we? Here's in case you missed it. Jason Lacanfora, our NFL insider, joins us. What an unbelievable finish last night. Have we got you, Jay?
I hear no Jay.
No, I don't hear him. Jason Lacanfora joins us. Hi, Jason. You couldn't do it on purpose any better.
Live this morning at the Country Hills Golf and Country Club. Yes, that's right. Country Hills. Jay, if you go into my folder, I think you can find a little Masters music. And I could do my Jim Nance here. Yes. Pristine conditions here for the annual running of the Calgary Flames Charity Golf Classic. We can expect wonderful conditions, as always, here at Country Hills. We can also expect Rhett Warner to drink too much and haul his naked arse out of his pants and carry it around, I would say, probably the 13th green. But just a wonderful day for charity.
It's a great green. 13th.
We'll have stars past and present from the Flames here, and with any luck, we'll be able to clean the vomit off of the 17th green from Rhett Warner.
The Redism t-shirts, our friends on Breakfast Television have been good enough to give a little publicity to it. So you're going on Breakfast Television just after 8 o'clock.
I just tweeted a picture of Rhett, too.
Awesome.
To see how lovely he's going to look on TV.
Now, this isn't the first you've heard of it, right?
I do recall something.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think Jay told you.
But, I mean.
Yesterday.
Yesterday, you know what was going on.
Well, I do, yeah.
Today's not the best day to be putting me in front of a camera.
No, it's going to take a significant amount of makeup or some unbelievable fashionista makeup artist to make you camera ready.
You, sir, you're golfing today, are you?
I have been guilted into golfing, yes.
Yeah, good for you. You're a former player. You played for the team. The point I'm making is, if I were a fan of the team, and I'm like, I'm going to pay a hefty sum to golf in this. I don't want to golf with Dean Malbork. That's no prize for anyone. That's not a treat. No one should have to pay for that. At least with you, you're a former player, somewhat of a athlete, apparently,
tell
at
stories
some point
about
in your
Mika.
Life. And you're a fun guy to golf with. That I understand, which is why I am respectfully withdrawing from the tournament today.
He's withdrawing.
You are such a wimp. Like, for anything that has
no,
to
listen.
Do, if he has to interact with other people, it's not. It's no good. He likes his love. He should be in a town of about 50 people.
I agree.
He can
That's
go home
from.
And just hang out with that, and then he can go to the coffee shop where he's comfortable and get his comfortable
knows everyone
sandwich.
There.
Yeah, he's got his order down.
No
That's
strangers.
Good. He can do his walk around the park back to the house, and he'll be.
Just let me know when you're done. You're not wrong. Here's what I got. I got issues. I got questions. And again, is this sports? No, it's not. But it's things that guys deal with, and I know I deal with on a near daily basis. Up early, don't eat before I leave. Come here, get back home, get into the vehicle by now. Okay, so up at 4. 5, Starve. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Starve.
7 hours into my day, haven't really eaten. I'm dying.
Can't go home. There's no food at home. So what am I going to eat? What foods are acceptable vehicle foods? You go through the drive-thru, burger, fries, drink, standard.
Yeah.
Now, what if you throw in the poutine? Because now you need a fork. It's got a lid on it.
two-hand operation. That's dangerous. I guess I can't recommend that.
If you're parking, and you know what? Secondly, if you get some sort of a chicken nugget with dip, now you got dips open.
It all comes down to your cup holder size. If the poutine, whatever, apparatus.
Yeah, yeah.
If the cup fits in your cup holder.
Poutine apparatus?
What kind of cup holder do you have that'll hold a tray of poutine?
I don't, but that's what they got to start thinking about. Other things that would be acceptable? The crisp meat burrito, which is a big favorite of mine.
So a burrito, that's a one-hand operation.
Do you not run the risk of it being sloppish?
Sloppish?
Well, just, let's just go through some examples. What about, okay now today, I'm going to try and eat a little healthier. I'm going to go have a sub sandwich. Now I got lettuce, tomatoes. I got, you definitely need your two hands.
It's almost worse.
I'm going to say that you can't eat subs in a car, in a vehicle.
No, you're driving.
Can't do it.
You can't do that!
Now the salute. Is there any way you can do the salute? People love the salute.
Yeah, without getting, do it again.
Without getting dinged for, no, him, there's got to be a way.
I'll eat a 10-minute because I'm going to smash there someone this year and do it.
Boomer talking sports in the morning. Text him now at 960-960. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings, brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. Ford employee pricing is back. You pay what we pay. It's that simple. Find out more at 2800 Barlow Trail Northeast or at myuniversal.ca.
Rolling through your Friday morning. It is now 8:28. Still to come, comedian Ari Shaffir through the weekend at Yuck Yuck's going to stop by in studio for a little visit. But tomorrow night, over at the Saddle Dome, it is the first game of the season for the Calgary Hitmen. The 2014-15 year gets going with the Red Deer Rebels in town. Good little rivalry. Why not get those two at it to start things off? And our next guest, no stranger to the Hitmen, as he's been around since prior to day number one. Very pleased to be joined by our next guest, Brett the Hitman Hart. Brett, good morning, pal. How are you?
I'm great. I'm really good. That's really good.
Good stuff. Where now? I saw you were in Toronto doing some stuff at Sportsnet out there. Are you still hanging out in Toronto?
No, I got back late last night. So me, Mr. Sandman's in the eyes.
I see. There you go. I was gonna
get ready to go to the gym and get my life back on track.
I was gonna say
derailed by Toronto.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're not gonna miss the home opener. That'd be a killer for you, right?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't miss it. I couldn't miss it. I'm really looking forward to this year. I think this is going to be a telltale year for this team. I think I think we got a real good team that's going to go out there, and I see real great things coming for us by the end of the season. I really do.
Yeah. You know what? I want to go back because obviously the team is called the Hitmen for a reason. When did the whole idea of junior hockey in Calgary and your affiliation with it get started? Take us back to day number one.
Well, it started probably in 94, maybe, or going on probably a long time. I was wrestling my brother Ole, I think. But I got approached by, Theo Fleury and Joe Sakic, and even then Graham James was still part of everything. And they wanted me to be part of the sort of the ownership, and I thought that my my popularity with wrestling with all young kids and stuff would be a good tie-in with the junior hockey because they were aiming for a younger audience and stuff like that. And I thought it was a good tie-in with that. And I love hockey. And it was actually Theo Fleury in one of the meetings we had once we were set up that he suggested the name Hitman. I think I might have thought of the name, or I can't remember who popped it out, but someone thought of it. But I remember Theo Fleury was the one that really kind of championed it through. He thought it was a great name. I thought it was a good name, even regardless of the tie-in with me. I thought Hitman, it just had a good ring to it. And I really was kind of honored and flattered by everybody that they wanted to name it the Hitman, and we stuck with it.
Can't imagine it being called anything else. I mean, it was one of those things, like you say, that right from the first time you heard it, it's like, okay, that's a good one. And it's hard to believe that there was some blowback during that first year with the jerseys and with the name there. Go figure, right? Somebody's going to be unhappy about something, that there were people that were actually borderline offended by the logo and by the team name.
Well, it was an uproar, like a huge uproar. And I got dragged through the dirt pretty good for no reason, really. But I know that when the Grant Pollock, I think, was a guy that went nuts. He went and lost his mind on TV and talking about how bad an influence I was on hockey, and that this was the biggest mistake junior hockey ever made. And Mike Toth, I think, was another sportscaster that just, you know, the thing with the sportscasters, they didn't have the they had the hockey strike on, and there was nothing to talk about, so they really ripped into the, you know, they kind of took it on me, and you know, luckily for me, the team stood by me and the rest of them. We kind of stuck with it, and even the logo, it was Al Coates that was the year after Bill Hay, I think, got relieved as president, came up to us and said, he goes, I love that first logo, let's change it back, and we were all like, oh, thank you. You know, that was a big thing. That logo was a nice logo, and when they changed it for that Starburst Sunripe, I was so heartbroken. Jeez, it's just so stupid. It's such a good logo, and we're going to replace it with a really ugly one just to satisfy somebody that's got his mind in the 30s instead of thinking more progressively.
Yeah. Brett the Hitman Hart is our guest. Hitman home opener coming up tomorrow. And the new/old jerseys. Forgot how good they looked, man. Don't they look terrific?
Yeah, they really do. They were a really sort of unique looking jersey when they first came out. And I think for some reason, when I look at this one, it speaks of the history that this team's had. You know, this is a team that, you know, nobody thought would make it. Nobody thought junior hockey would survive in a NHL city, in a big city where NHL rules. And you know, I think it's been an amazing relationship between the both teams. I think the Hitmen players get a lot of value from being around the Flames players. And I think the management and everyone take really good care of the Hitmen boys. They really, you know, treat them like a real team. And I think they're probably the best treated team in junior hockey, I think. And I know that one of the notes that I think is true about the Calgary Hitmen is they have the best attendance of hockey, I think, next to an NHL team of any other team in the world.
Yeah. Well, I remember during during the NHL lockout, they were the most highly attended hockey team in North America.
Yeah, I think the Flames actually were out of the black when that happened because they didn't have all those salaries to pay.
Yeah. I'm curious, and everybody loved it, right? How proud you must have been when you'd show up on Raw or whatever, when you were in the WCW, you'd show up on international television wearing the jersey. Did you ever get flack from, because it's all about marketing and wearing T-shirts that they can sell. Did you ever get flack for wearing the Hitman jersey whenever you did?
No, I never really did. I think everyone else does or would have, but Vince, WWE seemed to, they kind of, maybe it was just because of my position, man. They kind of let me do whatever I wanted to. They didn't have any problem with it all. And if anything, they've been pretty good to the team and let me wear the jersey out all the time.
And I don't think... I was going to
wear the jersey anytime they're in the playoffs. If I'm on a wrestling show and the Hitmen are in the playoffs, I wear the jersey no matter what. It's sort of a... unless I absolutely can't.
Do you know of any other hockey team anywhere that's called the Hitmen?
No. No, I don't think anyone's. I don't think. I think there's teams here in Calgary. Lots of little hockey teams that are called Hitmen.
Yeah.
I don't think it's gone too far.
But that's the best part of it, right? If when you hear about the Hitmen, you know exactly what you're talking about. When you've got something that special and that unique, you know it's working. Brett the Hitman Hart is our guest. Home opener tomorrow at the Saddle Dome against the Red Deer Rebels. How are you doing, man? I know over the last few years you've been dealing with your health, things have been good and then not so good. Where are you right now?
Well, actually, you know, people might see me sometimes. I've had a lot of problems with old injuries. Like both my knees replaced. And it turned out I had a broken foot. Like I had a broken bone in my foot for about 2.5 years that really hobbled me really bad while I had the knee injuries. And it just was a broken bone that got misdiagnosed by the doctors. And they didn't realize I had a broken bone for almost 2.5 years until finally they told me, said, well, you got a broken bone. And so anyway, I've been kind of hobbling around and limping around and getting very frustrated because it's hard to, you know, hard to sort of get your life back sometimes. You got all these injuries. I've got a broken bone in my right wrist that I got wrestling for my dad back in Stampede Wrestling. And it's really just a tiny little broken bone, but my wrist gets so swelled up when I lift weights or work out or try to, you know, even carrying garbage or sweeping or anything, any kind of yard work or simple little things, I get my wrist swells up, and that affects me training and working out and kind of doing what I want to do. And, you know, I know a lot of people have sort of, you know, they come across me and they maybe fear the worst that I'm not doing well, but I'm actually doing pretty good. I'm slowly recovering from my broken foot and all my little injuries. And my stroke on my left side back in 2002 or 2000, yeah, I think it was 2000.
Yeah.
My left knee, when I had it replaced last year, it took about 16 months to kind of come around and get stronger and better. It's finally kind of got through the pain stage now, quite a long stage of it, about almost 2 years of it, and it's finally get where the pain's not so bad, and I'm able to sort of start doing things like bicycling and working out again. So I'm just slowly rebuilding myself back, and I'll be my old self in no time.
There you go. Takes a little time, that's all. And as far as keeping busy, what are you devoting your time to these days?
Well, I do a lot of work for Marsha Dimes. When WWE calls me, I try to stay involved with them and stay by being in a good relationship with WWE. It benefits Natalya Neidhart and some of my good friends, like the family members and stuff that are still in WWE. That keep the sort of just keep the relationship warm and happy. And WWE's been pretty good with me the last few years. And I'm kind of in a live and let live kind of mode in my life, and I'm just enjoying, most of all, I'm just enjoying being home. I'm working on a second book, or at least planning on it. I'm sort of waiting for some weirdness to enter my life and write about it. But and I'm just letting things kind of just go nice and easy for me now. I've been racing around too much all my life.
Yeah. Well, you had enough you had enough craziness in that first book for about three, so regardless, right?
The first book that I worked on is still my pride and joy. It took me 7 years to write that book, and I still get a lot of people that are just starting to read it now. You know, I even have family members that never read it for years that have come to me in the last few weeks and mentioned that they finally read it and they loved it, that kind of thing. So there's a lot of people who kind of just, they always leave books sort of like sitting there. But I think my book's a good book for any Calgarian to open up and read. It's a lot of interesting history in there.
Yeah, I agree. One of the best reads going. Brett, I'm glad to hear you're doing well, man. Look forward to running into you soon. And no doubt, we know you'll be in your seats on Saturday night for the home opener. Thanks for doing this on a short amount of sleep. Appreciate it.
No problem. I'll see everybody tomorrow at the game.
Sounds good. Thanks, Brett.
Okay, bye.
There's a hitman, Bret Hart.
What a beauty.
Good guy. That book, I'll tell you what. I guess you got to kind of be a wrestling fan, or you have to have been back in the day. And for me,
at some point, yeah.
When I was obviously in high school or in grade 7, grade 8, grade 9, I was a huge wrestling fan. And that book, phenomenal. Between Stampede Wrestling, WWF at the time is going over to WCW, and then everything that happened with Owen and everything there, it's crazy, crazy the stuff that that goes on. I remember it was a couple years ago. God, I have a Bret Hart story. Invited by the Hitman at the time, it was only a few years ago, and there's still the Hitman in fairness, but at that time, I was very honored. Would you come drop the puck at the home opener? That'd be awesome. So go out, drop the puck. Here's come on up to the owner's suite to watch the game. We'd love to have you. Go up to the suite. My family's there, so I got two rambunctious kids and my wife. And here comes the Hitman, of course. Hitman's in the suite, but he's got like a air cast on his leg from mid-thigh to right into the boot, so basically to the tip of his toes. And he's on crutches, and he kind of is slow moving. Gets down to, so there's a suite, and then there's the two or three rows of chairs or whatever, you know, just like the regular seats. So he's sitting in the first row because, and it's his left foot. So he's kind of got his left foot into the alley or the lane or the stairs to go down to the next couple rows. And my kids are all over the place, of course, just a couple of donkeys running around. And it would, about every 5 minutes, one would go around and go flying up the stairs and just boot Brett's leg, like just bang. And you'd see him kind of, he'd kind of jump, like, oh, sorry, Brett. Guys, you got to Sit down. You're hurting the hitman. Would you just, you got to sit down. Again, Brad, I'm just so sorry. Oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it.
Just kids.
10 minutes later, bang. Guys, you're hurting the hitman. It was a very proud moment for me.
Well, very, well-trained.
Very free. Yeah. Very proud parent when that kind of stuff takes place. 8:41 Hockey talk when we come back. Things happening around the National Hockey League, including the details on Flames Camp, where, when, and all of that. Next, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Follow the show on Twitter at Boomer and Rhett. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings, brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. Ford employee pricing is back. You pay what we pay. It's that simple. Find out more at 2800 Barlow Trail Northeast or at myuniversal.ca.
It is 8:49 Friday morning. Boomer in the Morning continues. Ari Shaffir coming in studio after 9 o'clock. Who's Ari Shaffir? Well, he's one of the better stand-up comics working the business right now. Yuck Yucks this weekend. Get your tickets. I think the early show tonight sold out. Anyway, we'll get the details for you. And we'll get into some Flame stuff here momentarily. Training camp opens this morning. They're on the ice. You can check it out if you're so inclined. But I gotta say, it was about 50 minutes ago I said to you, Ryan Pinder, that you didn't look real good, and there was maybe some thought should have been given to not coming in. And you're like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
And I said, well, we're only halfway through the 4-hour show.
Right.
And as you sit here now, you really look like you're dead and forgot to lie down.
I'm feeling better, believe it or not.
No, you're not.
I am.
You look terrible.
I'm not used to this painkiller thing. I never take painkillers.
Your eyes.
Yeah, my eyes are.
You're complete.
Do I look like I'm stoned here?
Yes.
Like
because you are.
Crushed on Percocets?
Yeah. I wonder why. Because you're completely stoned out of your gourd right now. You're eating Percocets and drinking coffee.
Anything that gives you some show fodder, I'm happy to help.
You want to mix in some straight bourbon with those Percocets?
Yeah, not till 10:01, but
jeez.
Sure.
Jeez. So what's it going to take for you to not come in here? Could, like,
if this was a rat
losing
day,
a limb, what's it going to be?
Yeah, if I lost a limb, I wouldn't come in. I just love you so much, Boom. I can't live without you. You're my water, my oxygen.
Ryan had
my earth
surgery yesterday on a hernia.
That's right.
Now, was this something that was keeping you from doing things in your life, or how did this come to be?
No, it's just one of those things where it doesn't go away. You got to get it fixed at some point. In fact, I think it was back in May when I was like, what's this thing bulging out of my stomach? And the hernia, of course.
Yeah, it's a ringworm.
It was not the ringworm. Mm. So, you know, get surgery lined up. Yesterday did it. It was local, which is kind of weird because you're awake watching guys slice you open.
Yeah.
And you can't really feel it, but you can feel it.
Sure.
Tugging, lifting, pushing, but that's no pain.
Hideous, gross.
Yeah. And so here I am today.
Yeah, and it's great to have you.
I know it is. You're always excited to see me to begin with, but today, a bonus for you, my friend.
I'm trying to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to try and be easier on you. I'm just going to try and take it easier on you.
I just got to stop talking to comedians.
Well, no, you know what it is? It's like, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get in there. I'm not going to be so hard on him. I'm not going to give him such a hard time. I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to, no, it's good. You know what? He's a good guy. He's just learning. I'm going to just really take it easy. And then you call them the ocean birds or something ridiculous.
Rins,
you tell me
Emerald
how many tucks some
QE2.
Some guy's going to get. No, QE2's fine. It's just these. It's when you trot out statements that no one calls them the ocean birds. The Orioles are not the orange birds. I mean, the Cardinals, they're the red birds. You hear that.
Blue Jays are blue birds.
No, but they are, but no one calls them that. It's when you come up with stuff that's just completely ridiculous is when I fall off my chair and want to choke slam you through the table.
And so you'd rather have some schmuck in my chair today rather than me loaded on Percocets? I feel like the show might be even better with me loaded on Percocets.
No.
Not so far. Are my contributions that much?
You got an hour
worse. Than
hour
normal?
Seven left. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, between retro this week coming in after the golf tournament and you whacked out on Percocets, it's been quite a week for Boom.
We're playing hurt, Boom.
Hey,
Some of us can do it. Some of us can do it.
Back sore, Boom, Boom. A little bit. Flames this morning, 10 o'clock, Winsport Arena. No, before I go any further,
yeah.
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Because I am It may sound like I'm not at all concerned for your well-being.
No, this is very
and that I'm really thing. That I'm really putting the show ahead of your well-being and health.
You wouldn't do that.
I would never do that. Totally.
I'm fine.
I'd absolutely do it. I would never, ever totally do that.
We're golfing Monday. We're golfing Monday.
10 a.m. this morning. It is Flames training camp. Open to the public. Out at Winsport. You know where Winsport is? It's in the Olympic Park. It's COP. It's the McPhail
Markin
thing there. And in there is a Snyder Arena.
I'm on Percocets, huh?
And
that McPhail thing.
There will be a...
By the no, nice that's, jump.
That is nothing. That's just stupidity. That's just...
Right.
Just being old. Nieuwendyk versus McDonald this morning. Three teams. They have clever names. And then at 11 o'clock, McDonald versus Vernon. So if you want, 10 a.m., 11 a.m., open to the public, go and watch it. Tomorrow, same story, 10 and 11. And then on Sunday, 6 o'clock in Edmonton. So, what was that?
I was just feeling it, a little sore.
No, you grimaced.
Yeah, there's a bit of pain involved here. It's all right. We can play hurt.
Sunday, 6 p.m., Edmonton-Calgary, Calgary-Edmonton. Split squad. One game there, one game here. And like we said earlier, I don't know if you were to judge the level of caliber of roster, if you will, for what Flames fans might see here, as opposed to what Flames will send to Edmonton. History seems to have indicated that until you get to like the last one, generally all the veterans will play in that last game. To this point, maybe not a lot of veterans, but certainly when there is a split squad, you tend to give your fans at home more of a treat than the people in Edmonton. So I don't know necessarily that John Gaudreau is going to be going to Edmonton, or Sam Bennett, or anyone of real. You're going to have to, because you have to ice guys with a certain amount of NHL experience. But I would think as a, you know, Matthew Toussignon, as I said earlier, this is not disparaging, but Matthew Toussignon, you may want to pack a bag.
Doug Carr, you might be heading to Edmonton.
Mr. Carr, Doug Carr. What is slashing? Is that Jim Carr? So that is the scoop there. Sven Berchi. This begins a real interesting 3-week period for him, doesn't it?
How about a year? I mean, we talked about Bob Hartley, how big this year is for him. You could put Sven Berchi right in that same category.
But I guess just short term right here.
Big camp. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, between now and opening night, this is going to be a really interesting stretch, because if he does not fare well, many will say that's it. It's over. He won't play.
At least here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's what I mean. As far as the Calgary Flames and their connection with Sven. I don't know if it's right. But I'm inclined to think that might be the case. I don't know. Between what you heard from Brian Burke last year, I don't know that he's softened his stance on what he expects out of players. And unless Sven is ready to, you know, turn things around and comes through with a big camp, I do have concerns that this might be the last kick at it as far as it being a Calgary Flame for Sven Berchi.
It's a lot of good players he's in competition with.
Very quickly, and if not passed by, then yeah, the competition becomes a lot thicker and a lot more difficult.
Like this year alone, I think you've got to consider that Marcus Granlund is going to spend some time with the big club. He looked very good last year. I still don't know exactly where you want him, whether that's a wing or the middle or in a checking role or with some more offensive guys, but he looked very good last year. I do believe we'll see Emile Poirier at some point this year. He lost a bit of the offseason to injury. He's not in camp because of injury. I'm sure he's here. He's just not participating. But he's a guy that has followed in that first round. You know, Monahan made the team immediately. I don't think Poirier's far off. Sam Bennett's going to be on this team next year, maybe. Who knows? That's a ways down the road. Johnny Gaudreau is knocking on the door right now. Michael Ferland's coming off a very strong prospects camp. They're not all the same kind of player.
No.
But they're all guys fighting for a certain number of jobs.
But, and you would... To argue the other way out of, you know, Ferland, Reinhardt, whomever, if out of those players, they all reach their potential, it's Sven with a bullet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's the best. He's the highest ceiling.
He has the highest ceiling, the greatest skill capacity out of many of the guys here. If he can achieve it, then all of a sudden, And I said, it's like found money.
Yeah.
Because I really feel like when guys are putting their list together, I don't know anybody in pencil or pen has Berchi on this team this year. And then suddenly if you start to incorporate him into the future, because you think, okay, Monahan and, well, you got Sam Bennett, John Goudreau, and maybe Emile Poirier.
On the right.
You immediately skim past this guy. Interesting 3 weeks for sure.
And you know what? It might be he's under the radar a bit. Like you said, no one's talking about him. Everyone wants, what's Bennett look like? Is Ferland going to take a step? It's like people have washed their hands with that story. That's last year's story. And maybe this is the environment that Sven can thrive in. We certainly hope so.
We're jumping out, coming back with comedian Ari Shaffir in town over at Yuck Yucks all weekend. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.